On Countdown to Infinity this week, we discuss the Is She, Isn't She CGI eyesore that is the Incredible Hulk. Tied loosely into the newly emerging MCU, this gamma-radiated mess pits the Big Green against Spikey, Big Green, in a movie that missed more times than General Ross's infantry. If you like well-devised plot points, strong and empowered female leads, and a global playground that doesn't look like they took place in a warehouse in LA, then this probably isn't for you. This is Countdown to Infinity, and this is The Incredible Hulk.
Hello, and welcome to episode 2, where we're going to talk about The Incredible Hulk, Eamon? Is that what we're... Are we really doing this? Like, is that...
The not-so-Incredible Hulk.
I mean, the thing is with this, is that we... I'm denied as to whether or not we were going to put this in there. It technically is, and do you know what? If that's going to sum up this entire episode, it technically is part of the MCU. It's the black sheep of the MCU, as it were. Like, this movie is about... It's what we'd come to expect from other comic book movies. Like, now when we look back, it probably wasn't a surprise to us, but, you know, now this is so glaringly out in the open as terms of not as part of the MCU. The only thing that made this better was the Hulk that came 5 years earlier than it.
Well, yeah, I mean, debatable, because that was also a very terrible movie. The only technical connection to the MCU is William Hurt as Thunderbolt Ross and the post-credits scene, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah. So, first of all, I know it's going to be hard here. Like, last week, we really struggled to find things that we didn't like about Iron Man.
I mean, it's a solid movie. How could you really pick faults in it?
But tell me some things that you actually liked about The Incredible Hulk.
Do you know what? I'm going to throw a curveball out here.
Go on.
I liked Ed Norton. To begin with, when he's alone in the favela and he's kind of, you know, navigating his way through, like, being calm and doing all these, you know, breathing techniques, I was like, nah, that's kind of cool. I like that. That's, you know, a different side to Banner than we usually see. Because it wasn't the scientist, and that's where it went wrong. Because he wasn't a scientist, he was just a guy on the run. It was the fugitive, but the fugitive actually could turn into a green, rage-filled monster. Aside from that, Ed Norton's performance goes downhill very quickly. But to begin with, I kind of liked it.
I will agree with you on that part. I did like the fact that this was essentially like a crime caper. Like, it was a Thomas Crown affair with a big green fucking man. Like, do you know what I mean? We have Ed Norton trying his hardest to find a cure for it, but he's running around the world. He's nearly caught. He isn't caught. I actually really like Tim Roth's character when he's just slightly superhuman. Like,
yeah, when he's just Tim Roth.
Yeah, I like it when they jack him up a little bit and he's like Tim Roth, that's a badass Tim Roth.
Yeah,
I mean, kicking the shit out of the Hulk when he looks human. That's...
Exactly, especially when he's sprinting across that field. That scene's great.
Oh, yeah.
That's a very good scene.
Of Captain America
First Avenger.
Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, like, this came before, but, like, it when he's, like... Because it's a simple scene. It's not using CGI. It's a practical effect showing you that he has been souped up. I really like that. I also really liked the kind of... What's the best way to put this? That he was trying whatever he could. It was, you know, we have to get this piece and this piece and this piece. All coming back to that crime caper time thing. Like, I need this data and I need these sorts of chemicals and I need this flower. I like the bringing together of that. That is where my like of this movie stops. I mean...
Wait, are you telling me that you don't like Liv Tyler?
Do you know what? I'm sorry. This is where we're going to get... Betty Ross is more... than a fucking MacGuffin.
Yeah, man.
Like, and in this movie, she, Liv Tyler, who I love Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler's a fantastic actress.
Absolutely love Liv Tyler. But she was only in this movie to progress Ed Norton.
She wasn't there because she was a good character. She wasn't there because she had an integral part of the story.
I always have a major problem with movies where females just play the love interest.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, so why are you there? Oh, because, you know, the main character loves someone. And I actually thought, do you know what? That's one thing that I really didn't like about Ed Norton. He didn't come across as someone who's lost his soulmate.
No.
He came across as a creepy stalker. He literally came across like a peeping Tom.
Yeah,
that was
man.
And
But the defining thing for her was that she'd moved on. She had a new boyfriend or fiancé.
boyfriend.
I'm pretty sure it was just boyfriend. And that shouldn't be what defines her. What defines her should be her intellect, because let's not forget, she's Dr. Betty Ross.
Yeah.
That should be what...
She's a professor.
Exactly. Like, if she's going to be helping the Hulk, she's going to be helping, you know, Bruce Banner, it should be
on a scientific level, yeah.
Exactly.
The other thing that really, like, about Betty Ross that really fucked me off in this movie was she's seen in this, where he's just gone to the university and he sees her with this new guy and he's all pissed off and that's all cool, but it's clear that she's found someone else. Maybe she still thinks about Bruce, but she's found someone else.
And she's happy.
This guy is talking and she sees what could be the glimpse of Bruce Banner out the corner of her eye. And there's this whole scene where it makes her look like a doting dick. Like, you know, because the sound on his voice comes down. No. And then it's basically, it's like how not to write a strong female character.
Yeah, yeah. Just a strong romance in general. If that's what they were going to go
down. There was no believableness. No. It looked like a stalker and a ditzy woman.
Yeah, I mean, throwing it back to Iron Man, even though it was slightly rushed, the romance between Pepper Potts and Tony Stark was at least... They did have chemistry.
You could believe that Pepper Potts held her own against Tony Stark. And in this movie, Betty Ross, even though she is on a similar level, she worked with Bruce Banner. Obviously, you don't get any of this backstory in this absolutely rushed origin story.
You do get a brief flashback.
Oh, domestic violence apparently is an issue in which we will address with a giant green monster. No, the whole point of this movie is that we are starting out with a new Incredible Hulk. We are rebooting it so that it can fit as maybe what is going to be a long franchise.
Yes.
My major issue is this came out in the same year as Iron Man. Iron Man used practical effects. Iron Man used some breathtaking CGI. And this movie was all over the place. Like, the Hulk changes fucking size depending on what he's doing. One moment he's like, you know, maybe 3 foot taller than Betty Ross. The next moment he's climbing a building and he's 2 stories high. Like, he really jumps up and down and all around. And he does... There's never any moment in this movie. And, you know, you can watch 80s movies, you can watch, you know, 60s, 70s movies, where they're using, like, stop motion, or they're using, you know, some form of computer animation, and you can still suspend belief. This movie, it was so hard to take you out of what you were watching again and again. Every time he transformed, you were just... It was so...
Underwhelming.
Shit. Yeah.
Underwhelming. I'd say the Hulk should be this, you know, impressive character.
When you think about when he came in Avengers.
Oh, fucking hell. And Jesus.
You had this, like...
The raw power that you saw when he was running through the helicarrier. Mm. Holy shit, that just nailed it.
But there
it
was
perfectly.
Never any... And the thing about Ed Norton is there was no angst or fear in Ed Norton.
No.
And that's one thing that Mark Ruffalo, coming forward in the MCU, has really brought to it. He is scared of what he can become.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, most recently, Thor Ragnarok, when he realises how long he's been the Hulk, he shits himself.
Yeah.
He nearly has a panic attack because of how terrified he is of this other side to him.
This is the whole thing with Ed Norton is like... And we're left on this cliffhanger at the end as well, where he's smiling because he can control the Hulk whenever... it doesn't make any sense. Like, he does not at any time seem like he's controlling it. The other thing I really didn't like in this movie as well is it kept doing... Whereas with Iron Man, they were giving you fan service in a way that made you really appreciate this. Like, putting Lou Ferrigno in there took you out of the movie. Because it made you instantly go, we're not in a world that's real. We're in a world where this is funny because he originally played the Hulk on TV.
Yeah, no, I get that.
It didn't keep you in. Other things it did that just really, really didn't work is there's actually a Spider-Man cameo.
Contested. Rumors.
Again, it's confused. It doesn't know if this was ever going to be part of the MCU. You can obviously tell that, and that this is so... Obviously, we usually talk about post credit. I say usually. We've only done one episode. We usually go on to talk about post-credit scenes, but this post-credit scene is widely documented. It's out of the success of Iron Man, was filmed in retrospect. Yeah. This movie was never meant to be part of the MCU. It was never interconnected. It never had part of, like, the overarching, you know, thought, love, care, and attention that was given to Phase 1. But they were like, actually, we are going to use the Hulk, so we can maybe... And this, we got to remember, this is a Universal movie. So although we're talking about Marvel Studios...
See, that's where I think... Because it's widely reported that Universal distributed the movie. Okay, fine, cool. I reckon it's a little bit deeper than that. I reckon they had more say in the wider aspects of it. They wanted it to be, you know, a Universal movie... So the inclusion into the Marvel, or then Marvel continuity, I think they weren't happy with. Whether that's because of a rivalry, or whether that's because of, you know, commercial success, who knows. But I think it's deeper than just the distribution.
No, I would fully agree. It doesn't feel like, obviously, again, as with all of these things, we're looking retrospectively. Yeah. These are just our opinion. We don't know the inner workings of what was going on, but realistically, this did not feel... like it was for a greater purpose. There was no pushing forward of the world. And in essence, that is just purely shown by... And actually, take a moment to think about this. Abomination.
Oh, okay. God.
Take aside even more shitty MCU. Even shittier CGI, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, he looked like, you know, a Goomba from the Mario Brothers movie. But... The thing that really annoyed me about this is it was a city-wide battle that destroyed huge parts of of a city.
Well, their fight took place in Harlem.
Yeah.
Okay. And it is referenced in Luke Cage, albeit with a throwaway line and a newspaper clipping, and in Daredevil, again, with a newspaper clipping. But there's no real...
Gravitas,
there's no, you know, consequences to that. I mean, look at the Avengers, okay? Avengers saw New York pretty much get fucked up.
Yeah, destroyed.
Homecoming, they looked at the working man and how they, you know, responded to that destruction. Yeah. How everyday lives went, you know, carried on because of their city being destroyed. Now, where was that with Harlem? Where was that with your working class? That would have been a great time to bring in Luke Cage back then.
I just think that at that point, this is my point on it, yeah? It should have never been connected that Iron Man was involved.
No.
Yeah. Because it begs the question, and this is one thing the MCU moving forward is perfect for. You can always go, well, while this was going on, where was that character?
Yeah, where was that?
And if you've got Tony Stark in the post-credit scene coming to General Ross and going, I want to talk to you something. I'm putting a team together. I want to talk to you about Avengers Initiative. Yeah.
Yeah?
He's a counter-terrorist measure all over the world. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a law unto himself. If there is a battle in his city...
Well, it's not his city.
Well,
he was living in Malibu, remember?
Okay.
I mean, again, it's traveling cross-country, but you would have thought...
You would have thought if, realistically, you've got all these news reporting on this battle between these two giant green monsters...
And let's be honest, it wouldn't be over within the space of 20 minutes, would it, really? That's a fight that's going to go on for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, in movie terms, it's 20 minutes, cool, but...
But
Iron Man would
have got involved.
True that.
100%.
Yeah.
And it just didn't... It felt forced. It felt really forced. This movie... just really struggled to find an identity for Bruce Banner. It really struggled to find an identity for his motivation. And that's kind of the worst part about it, is because it's... And I think it's because we've been handed Bruce Banner on a platter with Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, he's nailed it.
There is a struggle of an intelligent man who cannot control brawn. It's the brain versus brawn. It's Jekyll versus Hyde. And it never felt like Jekyll and Hyde with Ed Norton. They felt different. You never for a second in this movie feel like Bruce Banner and the Hulk are the same person.
There was never that feeling that Hulk was an extension of Banner. Whereas, to compare it to Mark Ruffalo, you could tell that there was a likeness. Do you know what I mean? Even visually, does Ed Norton look like the CGI Hulk? No. Does the Hulk like a CGI version of Mark Ruffalo? Fucking yes, he does.
Yeah.
Even down to his hair. Now, does Ed Norton have long black hair? No. Does the Incredible Hulk? Yes. Where the fuck did that come from? I know, it's a silly little point.
No, but it's a silly little point. It's like a cohesive thing. The transformation scenes between them. It's the whole clothes, no clothes, ripped clothes. And that goes back to my point earlier about they never knew how big the Hulk should be.
Yeah.
So at one point, sweatpants fit the Hulk. And then when he went down, they're still fitting Ed Norton. Yeah. They're just ripped. I'm like, it's little things like that that make you really go, oh, well, why was that there? Why did that happen? Yeah. Like, I love the transformation of Tim Roth's character. Take out what he looked like and everything like that.
Yeah.
The need to become Abomination was driven. Yeah. Okay. And it was actually, it's weird to think about that actually the motivation of the villain in this movie was maybe one of the most fleshed out of... early MCU movies.
I get that. I mean, he's driven by the main character. He's not driven by an external plot point or a MacGuffin.
Mm.
He's driven by the Hulk. And that is an interesting relationship and the dichotomy between them. It's never fully explored, but the fact that they were pushing it in that direction, they were setting them up to be arch enemies of a Saw.
He was created as a super soldier. Became a super soldier. And he felt empowered. He wasn't strong enough.
Yeah.
So he wanted more. And that is, to coin the most famous saying in the world, with great power comes great responsibility. Until the power fully corrupted him. Why was he doing it? He was doing it to take down a threat. He was doing it in a very US military way, but he was like, I must become stronger to beat this threat. Yeah. And do you know what?
He's doing it out of service.
Yeah. And it was only when, some call it the drugs, some could call it the power. It's only when that really took hold of him that he became evil incarnate. Like, he was all about the power. He was all about... And do you know what else I loved as well? What else I liked was the fact that he wasn't killed. He wasn't killed off. He was captured. Yeah. And Kevin Feige has said that somewhere in a vault, like in a prison, there is Abomination. Like, he was kept around.
If they want to bring him back.
That's one thing I really did appreciate. We got a villain that was a match. Again, it was the exact same character as the hero.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the thing. With Mark Ruffalo's Hulk, he is a hero. He's a hero that even Mark Ruffalo is scared of. But he's one of Earth's mightiest heroes, yeah? Ed Norton wasn't a hero.
No.
Ed Norton wanted his girlfriend back. Ed Norton wasn't driven by science, wasn't driven by normality. He'd had hundreds of days without an incident, yeah? Hundreds of days without an incident. This is what confused me about the whole movie, yeah? So he's driven by this thing to cure himself, yeah? Yet he'd been free of the Hulk for so long.
So what was he doing in the meantime?
Exactly. So if he's able to control that, you can, like, that's why the motivation was lost for me. It's like, if you are able to control yourself, you're able to control your breathing, you're able to keep your thing down by keeping your head low, and you really want to be rid of this, yeah, then do that. Mm. Like, that's what confused me about it. Like, I didn't like that at all.
The problem for me really is the CGI battle at the end.
Yeah.
It's not original. It's essentially the same fight with Iron Man and Iron Monger, if you want to think about it that way.
Roll around
in the streets.
But it is important to note that they were being made parallel. They weren't being made conjoined. They were being made as two separate movies.
They were.
And although they were both Marvel properties, there was never any form of like, oh yeah, well, we're doing that in Iron Man, so we can't do that. This was not a Marvel Studios movie. And it was the choices of Marvel to include the post-credit scene that ties it in.
Yeah,
we have to take everything with that with a pinch of salt. But you're right, it is the exact same fight we'd seen 3 months earlier.
Yeah.
Like,
if you want to look at it this way, even towards the sky, it starts with Bruce dropping out of the sky and Iron Man ends with them dropping Iron Monger out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that sort of strange parallel between the two of them.
I'll tell you something that a lot of movies can learn from, though. And I think this...
Do you say this is an Oscar-winning filmmaker?
No. The one thing that, if done right, really did kind of... It didn't work. They didn't do it right. It wasn't well done. But what I did appreciate is that they attempted to go, do you know what? You know about the Incredible Hulk. You know all about it. Yeah. Let's we're going to recap you quickly and in a very kind of like early 2000s credit way. But yeah. We're going to recap you real quick.
In a Spider-Man 3 kind of way.
Yeah. But there you go. We're done. You know where we're at. We're up to speed. We're dealing with a banner that is already the Hulk. And I like that. And I think that a lot of, in the light of recent events and, you know, the fact that mutants could be coming back for the MCU, which is a completely different topic. But there is a lot to be said for if you want to put an integral character in, just like they did with Spider-Man in Homecoming, in Civil War.
Yeah.
You can just go, we know the character. We know, you know, just push them in. Yeah. Let's move on to Stan Lee's cameo in this one.
Okay, so throughout the first portion of the film,
I led to believe that Bruce Banner, one of the most intelligent scientists in the world, has chosen whilst laying low to become San Pellegrino peddler, as it were.
He ends up in this factory and. He ends a bit wounded.
He's working. He cuts his finger. It goes into a bottle. He stops the plant. He's like, he mops up the blood off the conveyor belt, but some gets in a bottle. And unfortunately, our poor Stan Lee drinks it.
Yeah, he pulls it out of the fridge, drinks it, and he's like, ooh.
But it's nothing ever happens. Later on, it says, someone drank some contaminated lemonade, and that was it.
Yeah, there's not a long-lasting effect.
It's not funny. It's not particularly. It was
The only reason it's funny is because it's Stan Lee. It makes the audience go, "Hey, I see what you did there."
Do you know that what? This Stan is Lee. One of the very few ones, though, that because of the Lou Ferrigno bit,
doesn't resonate as much.
It doesn't resonate as much. It's not Stan Lee in a Marvel movie should be the only person that takes you out of the movie.
Yeah,
and but again, I get that. This wasn't a Marvel Studios movie. So ratings, I'm gonna give this a 4 out of 10.
Oh.
And I'm only being generous there because there genuinely is things we can learn from this. So, you know,
should you rate a film because of what you learnt from it, though?
No. Okay, in the wider MCU, I'm giving it a 4 out of 10 because I do honestly believe that this isn't part of the MCU. I feel that the post-credit scenes that we've already discussed... really does. It was down to the success of Iron Man, and isn't that amazing? Like,
yeah, but let's just call back to Civil War for a moment. Thunderbolt Ross comes back.
Yeah, he does.
He makes an appearance, and it's the same. It's still William Hurt.
Yeah, it definitely. You there, have to take are, it with a yeah, pinch of salt, yeah, but do. This definitely is the MCU. So I'm giving it 4 out of 10.
Okay, I'm gonna go 3. Ooh. 3 out of 10. Poor character writing across the board. Emil Blonsky. Abomination has his motivation is solid. I'll give him that.
Mm.
But for a main character, I don't care about the Hulk. And I don't care about Bruce Banner. So why do I care about the film? I don't really.
No, agreed.
Liv Tyler as Betty Ross just... Oh, come on.
It was awful use.
They wasted that actress. She's incredible and they just squandered it. There was the inclusion of the leader very briefly.
Mm.
That was stupid. No, followed that up. I think I'm just done with it, really.
I think we can sum this up. Yeah, I'm so glad that now that we've recorded this podcast, I never have to revisit it again. In summation, the Incredible Hulk tries at times to be clever and fails, much like Ed Norton's portrayal of Bruce Banner.
Ooh, that was succinct. I liked that.
You know, if you have to watch it, do it. Do it along with us. Watch it so you can say you've done it.
Yeah.
You know, after this, go and watch it.
See, then you can appreciate what's come after it.
Yeah. And if you do watch it along with us and you want us to bring some bits up in future episodes, by all means, you can tweet me at SwearboxDJ.
You can tweet me at Eamon Jacobs. That's with 2 M's.
And you can tweet at HeroesDirect. #CountdownToInfinity. Ask us questions.
If you want to do it the old-fashioned way, you could even email us at writers@heroes.direct.
You can join us next time as we will be discussing the second entry in the Tony Stark saga, Iron Man 2.
Fantastic.
Until then, this has been Countdown to Infinity and Heroes Direct.
Thank you for listening.
See you next time.
Bye.